Parshas Shlach. Something perhaps a little bit different this evening. I'd like to investigate together with you and research a little bit the history of Tchelas, which is a fascinating topic, and if we're allowed to call it, a rather controversial topic. And of course it all begins in this week's parasha, the psukim that we say every single day of our lives. V'ostu lehem tzitzis, al kanfei b'gdehem, l'doiro yisom, v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof, psil tzicheles. And you shall place on the tzitzis in the corner, psil tzicheles. So it's quite clear from the psukim, this is Perek Tezvav, posuk lamed ches, it's quite clear from the psukim that there have to be tzitzis, which we will translate for the moment as white threads. In addition to that, there have to also be tcheles. Now, by the way, there is a whole halachic discussion, which is not our topic for the moment, but it's not immediately clear at all from the psukim how many have to be white and how many have to be tcheles. It's a very big machoikas. As we know, tzitzis, even though we see eight threads in every corner, but as we well know, essentially it's four which are doubled over. The opinion of the Rambam is that only half of one chut has to be tchelas. Half of one chut, which means when you double it over, you will actually have seven white chutim and one of tchelas. That's one out of eight. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Raivid disagrees, and the Raivid says it's not half of one chut, it's actually an entire chut. One of the four have to be tchelas. So again, so when you double over, it won't be seven versus one, it'll be six white, and it'll be two tcheles with one on each side. Either way, we don't seem to pass it like that. The majority opinion of the Rishonim is Rashi and Tosfos and others, that out of the four, there have to be two lavam and two tcheles, such that when you double it over, you'll have four of lavam, four whites, and four tcheles. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchos Tzitzis and Siman Yud Aleph quite clearly paskens like this opinion. But either way, that's not our topic for tonight, how many tcheles. Rather, we're going to discuss a little bit the nature of tcheles and the big research into finding tcheles, and does it or doesn't exist nowadays. This is the very big question. So as we know, Chazal tell us the Gemara in Soitom, that why bechlal did the Torah say you have to put tcheles in the tzitzis? Manishano, says Rav Meir, tcheles mikol minei tzivoinin. Why is tcheles singled out? So the famous Gemara, because tcheles is doime liyam. It reminds us of the sea reminds us of the heaven, and the heaven is doime lekisei hakovid. Doime lekisei hakovid. It's fascinating. I read recently that the great Mashkiach, Rabbi Yerucham, in the Meir Yeshiva, was once approached by a professor. And this professor, I guess, was rather facetious, cynical, and he says to him, he says, I don't understand. I've been to the sea many times. I've looked at the heaven many times, and it's never reminded me of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the Kisei HaKovid. So how can it be that you look at the chut of Tcheles, which is neither the sea or the heaven, it's one stage behind, it's supposed to, by association, remind you of the Yam, which reminds you of the Rakia, and how does that work? It never worked for me. So Rabbi Yerucham explained, he says, there's a Sif in Shulchan Aruch. The Sif in Shulchan Aruch says that not only is there an Issa to be mistakel ba'aroyis, there's also an Issa to gaze at the clothes of an Isha, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shemakira. Shemakira, which means who you know. If you see the beged, not from the Isha, you see it just hanging on the washing line, hanging out the window, whatever it may be, the beged of an Isha that you happen to know, then that by association will bring about improper thoughts. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So he explained, what does that mean? Why, when you look at the beged, will that bring about improper thoughts? So he says, because we're talking about an Isha Shem Makira that he knows, and apparently he's thinking about. So if he's thinking about her, any slight reminder, however tenuous, will immediately bring these thoughts flooding into his mind, which will be improper. Says Rabbi Rucham, Lahavdil Elef Havdolos, this whole association will only work if you're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's in the forefront of your mind, and at the smallest reminder, yes, then indeed it brings that tizkeiros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you as a professor never think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in Achanami, don't expect either the Yam or the Rakia to bring those thoughts into your mind. Be that as it may, we have this pasuk that says in the parasha that there is a mitzvah of techeles, whether it's one or two or four chutin, but there certainly is a mitzvah to paint or to dye the chutin with the color of techeles. And of course, the big question is, well, what is techeles? What is techeles? So, we begin with a Tosefta. This is to be found in the ninth parak of Menachos, and it says as follows. Techeles ein kashero elo min hachilozoin. It's got to come from the chilozoin, and it says quite clearly, hevi sheloi min hachalozoin. If the chutim are dyed, but not using the chilozoin, then it's possible. Then it's possible. So you clearly see that it's not so much the color that is of essence, it's got to be the color that comes from the chilozoin. And any other color, however close it may be to the original, but if it does not come from the chilozoin, then it immediately, by definition, renders the tzitzis possible. So chilozoin is, we're going to call a fish, and it's the secretion of this chilozoin fish with which you produce techeles. Now, it's quite clear in the Gemara that there are other colors that are remarkably similar, but they're not techeles. And in fact, the Gemara says that there were those who were trying to market a color which looked like techeles, but in fact wasn't techeles. The Gemara talks about this. In fact, the Gemara Bava Metzia says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says that why in the parasha of Tzitzis is Mitzrayim mentioned? At the end of Tzitzis, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoteisi Eschem, the very last pasuk in the parasha, I took you out from Eretz Mitzrayim. What's Mitzrayim got to do with Tzitzis? So the Gemara says a remarkable thing. The Gemara says, when all the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed, so there was a question, who indeed is the Bechor and who indeed is not? And that is something that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can know. Who is the real father? Says the Gemara, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who is able to discern the difference between somebody who is a Bechor and somebody who's not, so too, and this is the connection between Mitzrayim and Tzitzis, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to discern between genuine Tcheles and fake Tcheles. Meaning there were those, and the Gemara says, there were those who were selling what's called Kla Ilon. Kla Ilon, if it's Ilon, presumably it comes from a tree, and it looks so similar to Tcheles that nobody knew the difference except for those selling it. And it was much cheaper. Tcheles was very expensive. The reason why it was expensive is because Chazal tell us that it comes from this fish, Gemara Menachos, which oile echod l'shivim shona. It only appears once in 70 years. So we're talking about something which is a very, very rare species, and therefore, obviously, and the Gemara says, l'fichoch domov yukorim. Therefore, it's very expensive. Something that appears once in 70 years, you can imagine, it's so difficult to come by that it's truly expensive. So there were those going around marketing what they called Tcheles, but it wasn't Tcheles at all. It was Kla Ilon. Now clearly, if people were going for it, then obviously the color is so remarkably similar that you can't tell the difference. And that's why the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can. And that's the connection between Mitzrayim and Tzitzis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu discerned between the ones who were and were not the Bechor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can discern between those selling real Tcheles as opposed to those selling fake Tcheles. Now I did a bit of research. This Kla Ilon is basically a blue indigo color, the dark blue that we sometimes see those who have tcheles, and therefore we understand that indeed it's very, very difficult to tell the difference between the two. But the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, and if you sell this and market it as tcheles, then don't think you can trick HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when did this whole controversy begin? The Medrash tells us, it's a Medrash in our parsha, and it says as follows. V'achshav ein lonu elo lovon. The Medrash says this. We only have lovon. Shehatcheles nignas. The tcheles was concealed. It's hidden. It's hidden. So the Medrash is already telling us that this phenomena existed in which we have lovon, but we do not have tcheles. Now, halachically, you can still be mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's the very first Mishnah in a perek in Menachos, which is in fact called Hatcheles. And what are the opening words? Hatcheles einoi ma'akiv es halovon. It's not ma'akiv halovon. You can have lovon without tcheles. In other words, it's not all or nothing. You have to have your four threads, double into two, you have to have eight. If you have six or seven or three or four, then you're not yet to the mitzvah, so you have to have eight. But the colors, white and tcheles, are not le'ikuva, are not le'ikuva. So even though the Medrash says that tcheles was concealed, it was hidden, that does not mean that you cannot be mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis. You can and therefore must. Must meaning, if you wear a bag at the four corners, then you have to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis. How so? By putting four strings doubled into eight of white. That's quite clear. So the big question becomes, when exactly did this happen? When did tcheles, as it were, disappear, historically? Now, the Mishnayos detail and describe in quite clear explanation all about tcheles, and it was clear that they had tcheles at the time. So it's widely thought that it was lost or concealed in the times of the later Amoraim. The earlier Amoraim had tcheles, and it seems to have been that it was concealed in the time of Ravina. Ravina passed away in the year Resh Lamed Dalet, which is the year 474. So we're talking about over 1,500 years ago. That's when tcheles was concealed and therefore phased out. For the best part, indeed, of 1,500 years, Klal Yisrael did not wear tcheles. The Medrash says it was hidden, it was gone. There is no tcheles. Ve'ein lonu, says the Medrash, Elolav on Shatcheles Nignas. As for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, this is the way it was. Klal Yisrael did not have tcheles. When did this whole controversy erupt? It all erupted in the late 1800s. In the year 1880, I think it is famous, the Radzina Rebbe, the Admur of Radzin, he took it upon himself to make this a project. I'm going to investigate whether or not we really do or don't have tcheles in our times. So the Radzina Rebbe, Reb Gershon Henoch Leiner, in fact he made this such a life's project, he was actually known as the Baal HaTcheles. That was his big project in life, the Baal HaTcheles, and he says, I'm going to take on this subject. Now, in order to investigate tcheles, which means investigate the chilozin, you clearly have to be not only very practical, but you also have to be very knowledgeable, because you're going to have to look around Chazal for clues as to what the chilozin is, where is it to be found, what does it look like, etc., etc. So, for example, there is no one sugya in Shas that deals with this. It's scattered all over different areas of Shas. In the Gemara in Shabbos, which is not discussing tzitzis at all, it's nothing to do with the subject, it's discussing the halachas of Hilchos Shabbos, and it says, if somebody is sod, He hunts, he traps Echilozoin. So the sugya there is talking about Hilchos Tzeda on Shabbos. Nothing to do with tzitzis. But it adds one word, and that's a clue. Because it says, Hatzod Echilozoin v'hapoitzoi. Poitzoi means that you crack the shell. So then the Gemara discusses exactly which issa you're over. So as mentioned, that's not the subject of the Hilchos Tzitzis, but it's an important clue. Because if it talks about cracking the shell of the chilozoi, then obviously we've got to be on the lookout for a fish that has a shell. And if it's just your regular fish that does not have a shell, then clearly that's not it. So that's an example of the Rebbe, the Admor Adin, who wanted to investigate this subject. He had to be, and obviously was, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he needs to know all these Maramachimus. There's a Gemara, for example, in Shabbos, and it says, Sayode Chalozin, those who hunt Chalozin, can be found in the area of Haifa. Haifa. So that's another clue. Not as to what it is, but rather where it is to be found. Clearly, we're talking about on the Mediterranean coast of Eretz Yisrael. That's the area that you're supposed to be looking. There's a Gemara in Bechoyres, in Daf Lamed Ches, that gives us another clue, and it says it has the tsura of a nachosh, which sounds like maybe like an eel type fish, etc., etc., etc. So using all of these clues based on Chazal, looking around for descriptions of Tcheles, looking for descriptions of the chilozoin fish, the Rebbe, the Admor Merazim, went to investigate. Now where did he go? Now the Rebbe himself lived in Poland, but he went to Italy. He went to Italy, and it's fascinating, he describes in great detail how he saw these enormous glass boxes full of water and several fish. In other words, what we call an aquarium. Apparently this was known as the famous Naples Aquarium in Napoli. So he went off to Italy, and he went on more than one mission, twice and then three times. He went on a whole exploratory trip to see what he could find, investigate. And he came back to Poland, and his maskana was, I've discovered the chilozin, and I've worked out. It's got to fit in with all the simonim and all the clues. It's a whole puzzle that needs to be cracked. I've cracked it, he says. And he came to the conclusion, it's like a small squid type fish, a scuttle, cuttle fish, such that he did this experimentation that if you extract the liquid from this fish and you add some other ingredients, it produces the exact color of tcheles as described by Chazal, and therefore he reached, as far as he was concerned, the inescapable conclusion, the chilozoin has been discovered. And if the chilozoin has been discovered, and tcheles, its extract, has been discovered as well, then by definition that means we've got to wear tcheles. It's true, if you don't have tcheles, as we said before, you can wear lavon without tcheles, but he said we do have tcheles. And indeed, in 1887, he opened his chassidus, the first factory producing tcheles from this cuttle fish, which they had brought over from Italy, but they proved it wasn't a makoyim there, it fit in with all the simonim, and they opened the tcheles factory and they started marketing it. Who did they market it to? So obviously, in the chassidus of the Rebbe, in Radzin, everybody was wearing tcheles. And there were various factions in Klal Yisrael, the breast of the chassidim at the time also took it on, they also wore tcheles. However, it became a subject of much, much controversy. And many Gedolei Yisrael did not accept, and some did not accept, they were actually against the whole concept of tcheles. Now, what's fascinating, I only saw this last night for the first time. The Gadol Hador, the great Pesach Hador at the time, the end of the 19th century, 1887, was the Kovner Rav, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spechter. And he was against. That's what I'd always heard. What I only discovered last night was that Others claim that he wasn't so much against it. He just said he himself was towards the end of his life, and he said, I don't have the koyach to be mavara the subject. This is not just, you know, a psak, is my spoon meaty or milky. It's a whole project that needs a lot of investigation, a lot of koyach. And he said, I don't have the koyach at the moment. But absolutely fascinatingly, I saw, and I don't know how reliable this is, but apparently, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan himself said that even though I'm not necessarily for it because I don't have koyach to investigate it, but he paskened that if anybody is makbid to wear this newly found tcheles, then after he passes away, he should be buried in a talus that has tcheles. That's what was claimed in a sefer that I saw last night. So, at least according to their claim, he was not vehemently against it by any stretch, otherwise he certainly wouldn't have allowed somebody to be buried in a talus which is painted the wrong colour. Either way, the Beis HaLevi was definitely against it, for reasons we'll discuss in a moment, and there is in fact a whole correspondence between the Rizina Rebbe and the Beis HaLevi, who both lived at the same time, discussing for or against, and the Beis HaLevi was clearly against. Now, very interestingly, and you see the remarkable Hashkochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here, Harav Herzog, who was the chief rabbi initially in Ireland, but then here in Eretz Yisrael, before the onset of the Second World War in 1930, he decided, I'm going to reinvestigate this subject. So we're now talking 40 or 50 years after the launch of Tcheles, or the relaunch of Tcheles by the Rizina Rebbe. And he took it on in such a big way that he actually received a doctorate in the subject. So it wasn't just some small pastime. He made it a whole life's project. And he came to the conclusion that no, this fish that had been found is not the Chelozen after all. And one of his big timers was that how can it be the Chelozen? The extract of this fish is not blue to Chelis. It's only when you add other ingredients. And he claimed that it could well be that other fish as well, if you take their extract and you add the same ingredients, it will produce the same color. Therefore, this is not the Chelozen fish. So he was also against. But again, Rudzin had already been marketing this for 30 or 40 or 50 years. What's so remarkable was, in the Holocaust, in the time of the Second World War, the factory in Poland that Rudzin had set up to market this tcheles was destroyed. And with it, all the instructions and the guidelines how to produce tcheles. But what's so fascinating is that after the war, they had still got records, not from Rudzin, but they had the writings of Rav Herzog, who had written against Rudzin, but from his writings they were able to learn again how to produce the tcheles and how to produce what was there in opinion, the extract of the tcheles, the chelozen. You see, it's a remarkable hashkochas Hashem that the one who actually was, as it were, waging a campaign against Rudzin, ultimately he helped their cause because it was through his writings that they were able to retrace and rediscover once again how you go about the production of tcheles. And indeed, the Rizina Chasidus once again started marketing, and this exists ad hayom hazeh. Ad hayom hazeh, until this very day, Rizina Chasidim wear tcheles, and I think it's safe to say that they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones. There are plenty of G'dayrim, Talmidei Chachamim, who wear tcheles. However, it's also fair to say that it is not the predominant minhag. It is not the predominant minhag, at least in our circles. Of course, if you go to Beis HaMedrash Rizin in Bnei Brak, then you'll see everybody wearing tcheles and maybe Breslev and other factions in Klal Yisrael. But it is not the common minhag, and in fact, it's not just 51 versus 49%. It is an overwhelming majority of people who do not wear tcheles. So the big question becomes, what was the controversy? The Rebbe brought proofs that this was tcheles, which at the time were not disproven. Rav Herzog came many years later with his tainus against. What was the Beis Halevi's hisnagdus? Why was he so against the inyan of tachelis? So I looked around. I have a sefer at home, the Beis Halevi Alatera, but at the back of the sefer there are a few additions. A few additions, not the classic Beis Halevi Alatera. These are collections of various statements or divrei Torah that Beis Halevi had said, and there it's recorded. What exactly was the hisnagdus? Why was the Beis Halevi so against? So the Briskerov, who is the grandson of the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim Brisker, the Briskerov said a very interesting chiddush of Beis Brisk. And he said the reason why Gedoli Yisrael, the Roshon, the Beis Halevi, why were they against it? Because there is a pasuk. And the pasuk in Parshas Hazinu says as follows, the famous pasuk: Sha'al avicha v'yageidcha. Ask your father, and he will tell you. Zekeinecha. Ask your grandfather, v'yomrulach. Now that sounds a bit of a repetition. Ask your father, ask your grandfather. What is it exactly I'm having to ask my father? What is it that I'm having to ask my grandfather? So the Beis Halevi explained that we don't necessarily know in a clear fashion all the details of some halachas. So for example, what is the best day-to-day example? You open the Torah and it doesn't say that tefillin have to be black or they have to be square. So maybe I'll come with red tefillin which are triangle. But we know we have a Masorah midor-dor all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Said the Beis Halevi that there are some things which are based on facts. We need to know a particular clarification. Is it A, or is it B, or is it C? And then we have other parts of halacha which are not so much fact-based. They need to be Masorah-based. And as the Beis Halevi says, if I produce an animal which seems to display all the synonym of kashrus, but if there's no Masorah that this animal is kosher, then it's not eaten. So it's not just fact-based, it's Masorah-based. And he said, those are the two halves of the psukim. You have to ask your father, you have to ask your grandfather. Why am I asking twice? Because there's some questions that need to be asked. What are the facts on the ground? But on occasion, that's not enough. I need to know, is there a clear Masorah, even if factually it all seems to fit in so perfectly? Said the Beis Halevi, therefore, even if you bring me factual, scientific, empirical evidence that the chelozim fish is this cuttlefish, but we don't have a Masorah. Because for the best part of 1500 years, people have not been wearing tachelis. So we do not have a Masorah, and therefore it wasn't accepted. Furthermore, secondly, so the Beis Halevi, if you look very, very subtle diuk, what was the lashon of the Medrash we mentioned before? The Medrash says that we don't have tachelis. Why not? Because tachelis is nignaz. What does nignaz mean? Nignaz, it doesn't say it was lost.
Hidden.
It was hidden. Says the Beis Halevi, there's a difference between lost and hidden. Lost means that unfortunately we can't find it. That's the only problem. So if somebody can find it, then we've solved the problem. Nignaz means concealed, means that even if we do have it, but it's been put aside. So it doesn't help then to then regurgitates all the evidence because it's been nignaz, it's been concealed, even if we do have it. Right. Thirdly, this is a remarkable taina. The great Vilna Goyen, as quoted by the Beis Halevi, says, I see this in the pasuk. Now listen to the careful reading of the pasuk that we began. And we say this every day of our lives. Twice. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amar to alim v'asu lohem tzitzis al kamfei v'gdeim. Let's translate. They shall make for themselves tzitzis on the corners of their beged. What's the next word? L'doiroisom for generations. How does the pasuk then continue? V'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof psul techeles, and you should put techeles. Why is that word ledoyroi som stuck in the middle of the pasuk? There's two halves of the pasuk. Why did the Torah not write, you shall place tzitzis on your beged, part one, and you shall put techeles, and all of the above should apply ledoyroi som forever and ever? Said the Vilna Gaon, do you know why the Torah put the Deirei Sam in the middle? Because the Deirei Sam is only referring to the first half of the pasuk. Put tzitzis on the beged, the Deirei Sam. End of part one. By the way, the Nosnu al tzitzis also are konof psil techeles, but that's not the Deirei Sam. So the Torah is already hinting to the fact that techeles is not forever. It's not the day race, an unbelievable Vilna Gaon. Now, in the sefer that I mentioned before, they bring there the correspondence between the Rezina Rebbe and the Beis Halevi, and there it's brought slightly differently. We said the Beis Halevi is Hesnagla, seems to be that we don't have a Mosaic. The way it's brought there was the Beis Halevi actually said it even more emphatically. And he said, this cuttlefish that the Rebbe claims is the Chilozin has been known to us for many centuries. It's not like a fish that was suddenly discovered. It's just that the Rezina Rebbe put the dots together that this is the one that produces the tzitzis. But the fish is known to us. And if the fish is known to us, and nonetheless it has not been used for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, then not only do we not have a Masoira, we actually have a Masoira, but this is not the Chilozin. You see the difference? The first approach was, I don't know, we don't have a Masoira, I don't know, it remains as a question mark. The Beis Halevi, as recorded in the writings of the Rezina Rebbe, said, no, it's worse than that. Not we don't have a Masoira, we have a clear Masoira that this cannot be the Chilozin. After all, this fish has been with us for hundreds of years in Europe. Everybody knew about this fish. So why did nobody use this? Why for centuries and centuries was nobody producing Tcheles from this Chilozin fish? So that's the clearest proof that indeed it's actually not the Chilozin fish after all. We should just point out, in conclusion, that there is a very big question to be asked. And what is the big question to be asked? And I read that this is a whole Briska dynasty story, beginning with Beis Halevi, to Reb Chaim, to his son the Briska Rav, who was once going on a vacation with his own son Reb Beryl. So this is now four generations. And they bumped into a Rezina Chosid. And the Rezina Chosid tried to convince them to wear tcheles, to put it in their tzitzis, and he says, I'll give you a free bundle, a free wool of dyed tcheles, and he refused. We don't wear tcheles. After he left, Reb Beryl asked his father and the Briskov, why indeed do we not wear tcheles? In Brisk, everything goes with the same, but why don't we wear tcheles? So he said all of the explanations we just said, the Hele Gazeda, the Beis Halevi said there's no Masoira, and the Vilna Gaon said it's only the Deiroisom, and it said it's Nigmas, etc., etc. So the big question became, and the Rezina Rebbe himself asked this to the Beis Halevi, at one moment, you don't have any proofs against me. So what's your taina? Who's to say it's the Tcheles? We don't have a clear Masoira on me, we have a Masoira stop. We don't have any riots against me. So can't we just call that a Sofik? And if it's a Sofik, what's the halacha of a Sofik? Sofik, Do'iraisa, Lechomer. You don't have any proofs against me, you don't have any kashas. It's a Sofik. So even if I may be right, I believe, says the Rezina Rebbe, I am right, but even if it's not clear, so we'll call it 50-50 Sofik. Sofik Deiraisa Lechomer. This is a pasuk in the Torah. Very big kasha. So, they explained that a remarkable chiddush lehalacha, Sofik Deiraisa Lechomer, is not applicable over here. Why not? What would be, for example, on Rosh Hashanah morning, you cannot remember on the first day, have I heard shofar or not heard shofar? I can't remember. Safik. So what would be the halacha? Safik. Deiraisa l'chumra. You'd have to blow shofar again. What happens if you blow shofar again? Now, I've definitely been yetzer the mitzvah. So safik deiraisa l'chumra tells you that when you have a safik, you better go and do it to cover all your bases. But if you do it, you've definitely been mekayem the mitzvah. What about putting the Rezina Tcheles on your tzitzis? It's a sofik. And if I put the Rezina Tcheles on my tzitzis, I still don't know whether I'd definitely be Mekayim the Mitzvah. There's no principle of sofik derais of the Chumrah. Sofik derais of the Chumrah only tells me that if I have a doubt, then go and perform something which will be a definite fulfillment of the Mitzvah. But putting on the sofik Tcheles, I'm none the wiser. Because after I've done it, I've still got a 50-50 suffix. There's no principle of suffix derived from the Chum. So this basically is a brief synopsis of the history of Tcheles, the discovery, the rediscovery, and the Hisnatus. Now, I'll just finish off with 2 points. I have a sefer at home, a paperback 60 or 70 page kuntras on Tcheles. And very interestingly, he writes, and this is written very recently, he says, we did our research and we found that the Chilozin is something else. He writes, the Chilozin is this Morex trunculus. That's what it is. And he says, we did lots of experimentation, and when you extract, you do not have to add any other ingredients, and it produces Tcheles. And he goes through all the proofs and all the simonim and all the clues in Shas, and he says, everything makes sense. And all the kashas that we just mentioned, we don't have a masira, and the deiraisim, he goes through them one by one, except one. He says, there's one line in Chazal, which I don't have an answer to. We said before that it clearly says the chilozain fish emerges once in 70 years. He says, this is very, very commonly found. So it's a bit of a kasha. So the bottom line is, I think it's safe to say, at the moment, as Hashem Mashiach will come and clearly tell us what the Chilozin is, there is no clear-cut hachra on this subject. And as I mentioned, the overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael do not wear it. In Rezin they obviously do, and some Chassidus they do, and I think maybe some Sfaradim do, but generally, the general minhag in Klal Yisrael is not to wear it. So let me just finish off with one line. As you know, I was zeicher for many years to do shimush with my great Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ulman, zeicher tzaddik livracha. I remember one occasion when I was sitting there in Kiryat Sefer in the Beis Seiroh, and somebody walked into the Beis Seiroh, and he was clearly relatively new to a frum way of life. And he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman in English. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman spoke a little bit of English, his wife was actually from London. He understood English, but his speech is, he didn't speak English well, but he could make himself understood. And he came in, this person, 50 or 60 year old, and he said to Rav Shlomo Zalman, should I be wearing tcheles? Rav Shlomo Zalman clearly was now not going to give him a whole 45 minute shiur on the history of Rezina Chassidus. And he told him emphatically, no, don't. And he explained it to him, and then he turned around to me and said, just translate in English. Even though he spoke to him in English, but he was very, very keen that this person understood exactly what the Rav had mentioned and what he had said. And what he said was, I'm not getting involved in the discussion, right or wrong, whether this is the Chilozin, whether this is the Tcheles. But he said, this is a very big Yisoid in Yiddishkeit. This is what he said to him. That if we don't know what to do, look around what the general minhag is and don't be different from other people. That's what he said. If you are a Rezina hostage and you have a Messiah, that's what your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather did, then that's what you should do. And maybe that's what Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector was saying. If somebody had that minhag all his life, he should even be buried in a talus with that. But if you don't know, and this person was, as it were, a Baal Tshuva, now just joining the fold, didn't have claim in Hoggin, He said, it's a great yesod in Yiddishkeit. It's a very big yesod, he told him. If you're not sure what to do, what is the correct Masoiras, and you personally don't perhaps have a Masoiras, look around and see what the majority of Klal Yisrael are doing. And the majority of Klal Yisrael are not wearing Tcheles, do not wear Tcheles. And that's what he told him. So either way, let's hope that this L'dayrei song of the Vilna Gaon, which at the moment perhaps is short-lived, but Be'ez Hashem, Mashiach will come and be megale to us what the real Tcheles is, and then we'll be able to make the mitzvah the way it should be, with Lavan and Tcheles.